Let's go with that. 2017 Stempunk. Well, Tom, you mentioned the other week we've actually been doing this for almost a year now, or basically a year.
Yeah, over a year.
Over a year. Do you remember the actual date of
I think it was January 6th.
January 6th.
Is when we uploaded our first episode.
Wow, what was that episode? When we were just sitting around at UTS at Christie's
That's right.
work.
Trying to figure out what we are doing. And we're still doing that.
Still doing that, but we're coming up with a few good ideas
exactly.
for this year. We're obviously going to be still continuing the Stempunk Quiz Nights. That's still on the board because I've been asked, when's the next one going to be? But yeah, Trivia Night sounds good.
Hey, how about we... what did you think of last year, like Stempunk in 2016? What did you reckon?
I think overall, it was fantastic. Uh-huh. That's my key word. I keep on saying fantastic in my interview. So it was. I think it was a good... successful, but a lot of learning that we did throughout the year, because we're still learning how to be podcasters, I guess that's the word. Christy and I went to that podcast conference. That was a big insight into the big bad world of podcasting. It's not
There's
as big
a lot
as
of things we don't do.
Yes. which we haven't really reported on that as such yet. Maybe that should be an episode in the future.
Yeah,
because radio is still very big and it's got a huge share of the audio market, but podcasting is actually increased a lot in that time. But overall it's been pretty cool. I can now put podcaster on my CV, which is pretty cool.
What about you, review of 2016, Christy?
I thought it was lots of fun doing Stempunk. It's definitely been a learning process. There's been a lot of things that I didn't know much about and I do need to learn more about still, I think. But I've just really enjoyed the way it's gone and how it's evolved. I like that we started doing our STEM quizzes. And I just like that... I feel like we've branched out a bit more. We've started doing some different things. We've not just had just the three of us sitting around chatting. We're now doing interviewing of other people and looking at different ways that we can do podcasts. And I think that makes it quite fun. Hmm. Yeah.
How about yourself, Tom?
I think it was, like I said before... it's something that I always wanted to do. So it was just an excuse to do something that I always wanted to do, which is so cool. And it was lots of fun. I mean, the whole point is that we're sitting around talking about this stuff because that's our jobs. And if we don't do that, then we're not doing our jobs very well.
Yeah.
That's not what I mean, but we could be doing better. So we are.
Oh, there's always room for improvement.
Yeah. And that's what I liked about it. Plus... we're starting to get to talk to really cool people who I like talking to, like some of the interviews that we did. Like Margaret Wertheim for me was a really cool highlight from last year, and it gives us an in to talk to other people like Derek Muller, you know,
potential 2017,
he's cool to talk to. Other people like Fred Watson, who we talked to last year
Quiz Night.
It's just a way to say, hey Fred, I want to talk to you. He's going to say kind of busy, but if you say, hey Fred, I'm going to interview you on a podcast, you'll be like, okay, cool, let's do that. So that's it's a good in to do our jobs better.
Yes,
that's the way I see it.
I do like the excuse it gives us to talk to people that I've always wanted to talk to
but
I haven't had a reason.
Well, we got to speak to Brian Schmidt.
That was probably one
of the biggest people we interviewed last year, and he was great.
He's really good
great insights into STEM and everything like that.
So that's 2016. So what are our plans for 2017? This is a very inward looking version of an episode, right? But that's okay. what are our plans for 2017? I've got some ideas.
All right.
I want to hear your ideas.
Ooh, surprise ideas we haven't heard about. Well, we were just discussing just recently, and we're going to obviously continue doing the casual chats, the interviews, and the quiz nights, but. Christy, do you want to talk about the trivia night idea?
Well, we're thinking about doing a trivia night, hopefully as a bit of a fundraiser for Stempunk, for the podcast, to help us continue doing what we're doing, help us get better.
Yes, we need money.
So the idea would be, having a science-themed, STEM-themed trivia night, because there's a lot of trivia nights in pubs, but they always have sport questions, which I always fail at.
Yes.
And I would love to have just a STEM-themed trivia night. And so we're thinking trivia in the pub, that sort of style, but all STEM, which would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And the only science questions in those ones are things like, what's the order of the planets?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it'd be good to have some
or
actual...
Who actually said this
questions.
Quote,
yeah.
Which is a more of an historical thing.
Yeah.
No, this is not science.
So I think that'll be a lot of fun. I think we'll have some really interesting questions, and I think that the audience is going to learn some stuff, and it should be good fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as I was saying before as well, I was at Wayward recently. Shout out to Wayward. And, both the people that were there at our STEM quiz nights, who were there at the night last week that I was there, both said to me, when are you guys coming back? So that's really cool.
It's always good feedback,
though.
Yeah. People wanting to know when we're doing something again.
Yeah.
Means they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Unless they're asking so they could be away at that point.
Or it's bringing in good money for them as well, maybe. I don't know.
Well, it's not doing anything bad for them.
No.
Yeah.
And I guess, yeah, the more people we have, the better for them.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
And we were also talking about a movie night.
Yeah.
Yes, because you got a connection with a particular independent film. Do you want to mention that, Tom, or should we have that as a surprise?
Let's make that a surprise.
All right.
I like it. Surprise movie night.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, but it's the same thing at a pub, right? So
at a pub,
you sit down at a pub and watch a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it sounds great.
Yeah.
Movie nights are still a thing, aren't they?
Yeah. It'll be almost like a drive-through, but at the pub.
Beer through.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I mean, that's the best way to watch a movie, right? Beer and pizza.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I'm excited already.
I think for this year, I'm actually going to have some time to hopefully interview some cool science people.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my various connections in the astronomy outreach world, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Once I get a microphone. But that should be good fun, because I haven't actually been able to interview too many people yet, being a bit busy as I was. And in theory, I am less busy now that I'm on maternity leave. In theory.
Yeah.
Do you have any people that you want to interview that you have in mind?
I've got a few. I don't want to confirm anything
surprises.
Just yet.
Okay,
again,
cool.
Surprise. Just in case they either postpone or delay or cancel, which
mm-hmm.
can be troublesome sometime. But
mm-hmm.
definitely got a few in the works.
But you could say their names now and then they sort of feel compelled to agree to it. They just feel like, well, I have to do it.
Maybe. We'll keep it as a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
We've got a few surprises by the sounds of things.
I want to speak to Derek. Derek Moore.
Oh, okay, so that's a big one.
Yep.
That would be good.
Yeah.
He's done really well.
He has done
really
well.
His channel is great, so I think that'll be lots of fun to talk to him.
And his SBS document...
Documentary.
I can't get the words right. Anyway, he did Twisting the Dragon's Tail, all talking about uranium, which is
really that's cool. Been really well received.
Yeah,
that documentary.
Basically narrator and MC of that show. So
awesome. I've seen him in a couple of places where I did not expect to see Derek. So my son at the moment keeps watching YouTube videos of just mashups of Hulk. So he watches film clips that people have done with the Hulk in it, and that's what he puts into YouTube, and then that takes him to other places that he sees, like there's suggested videos on the side, right? So one of them was a Hot Wheels, so he went from Hulk to step 2, step 3 Hot Wheels, and in the Hot Wheels video is Derek Muller talking about the science of Hot Wheels.
Cool.
It's so cool. He's done an entire series of Hot Wheels stuff. And so I walk into the lounge room, my son's on the iPad looking at Hot Wheels, and there's Derek. I'm like, I know that guy. I got some credit from my son for that.
All right. Check out Hot Wheels on Veritasium, I take it?
No, just Hot Wheels, the science of Hot Wheels or something.
Oh, wow. So it was a guest.
Yeah, it's an entire series. He's done a few episodes. I'm thinking like 12 or something episodes. Just short little episodes of how do you do problem solving with Hot Wheels. It's so cool.
Hmm.
Maybe Hot Wheels could sponsor us. I don't know.
Hot Wheels, if you're out there. Yeah. So did you want to mention music night?
So later on this year, we're going to be running an event with the Inner West Community Band in Sydney. It's going to be a Science Week event where the band is going to be playing sci-fi songs, and STEM Punk is going to be emceeing and hosting the event. And throughout the year, we're going to be going to different rehearsals that they do, and we're going to talk to the band leader and band members and you know, people around the band, as they rehearse throughout the year, then get to the end of the year, be at the event for their sci-fi songs, which is going to be awesome and fun. Like, it's a big, you know, big band with lots of wind instruments. There's no strings, there's no violins.
That'll be a bit unusual for the various sci-fi.
Yeah, they're going to have to get around some of that.
They're
going to
improvise. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be good.
Yeah. But yeah, so a few songs from sci-fi themes. So last year their theme was Disney movies. So they just chose Disney movies and played songs. It was great, and they're very, very good. So we're going to be hosting that event, running that event, and they're playing the songs, and then hopefully we can get, you know, kind of the rights to play some of their songs. And put that all together in a podcast to be like, this was our year of, you know, science and music.
Fantastic.
Sidestepping the A into STEM kind of thing. We can be in STEM and still like good music.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
So it's going to be run as a Science Week event.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So hopefully in conjunction with the quiz night as well, is that the idea? Or
I think that's going to be separate.
Separate,
so,
all right.
Yeah.
Because it might be too much.
A quiz will be separate, I think.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, like, for National Science Week, so we're still going to have a quiz night.
I
around.
Think so.
Yeah, so it's, we're going to have our work cut out for us during that.
Jam-packed National Science Week.
that's to
it's
be
It's
going to
be a National Science Month. We're trying to do it over the course of the year, because science
exactly.
is all the time, or STEM is all the time. Everyone just wants to jam it in this week.
Yeah,
it's just...
STEM doesn't just happen in August.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome.
So other people that I want to interview is Madeline Cook. So she's the director, actor, and everything else for a film that has just been released called Seat 25. It's a great sci-fi film, kind of different to any sci-fi film that I've ever seen. I won't give it away because it's a great film, but we're going to watch that, and then hopefully, I mean, Shane and I have seen it. Christy
yes.
will see it.
Yeah, get on to that, sure. Christy.
Yeah. Blame the baby.
Yeah.
It's a very cute baby. And then interview Madeline, who is, the main actor and writer and director of that film. It's such a cool concept, and it was done on a shoestring budget. Essentially crowdfunded to get the money for it. Great. It's a great idea for a film, and it's a great execution, I think, of the film. There you go. I've just given a small review of it, but it'd be cool to get her input. I've reached out to her, and she's keen to talk to us.
So it's a fresh tomato, if you're going to use Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes,
certified fresh. Well, from your perspective, and also from mine as well. I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah,
the
right.
story, the premise, and just sort of the execution of it all.
Yeah, yeah. I think we should leave the rest of our review for the time after we've seen it. But yeah, that's going to be really exciting to. And that's the thing. So I heard about that film, and then I contacted her via Twitter, and she said, "Hey, I do a podcast, and I'd love to interview you." And she goes, "Okay, here's a advanced screening. Watch it, and then call me." And it's like, if I was just a random punter, I don't think she would have done that. But it's cool that we can have that avenue to talk to people.
Yeah, be good. Be terrific once we interview her and everything. Because I'm a big film buff, so.
Yeah, right.
And just like getting the insights of how people created the film, the process of all that, getting it from paper to screen, essentially, or from the mind, in a sense, to get a good story going. I guess that's where it all stems from, pardon the pun. And then finally to a finished product in film. So, yeah, something I wouldn't mind being into, actually. I do a bit of it in sort of what I do, and also through the Planetarium Society I'm involved with, but just for films, just be very intriguing on how to get the insights on how that is done, especially for an independent film, and then compare that to a big budget film, what you see in sort of the making of, say, Lord of the Rings or something like that. You see all those blogs. It's like, this is getting outrageously big, and then you have this tiny film that probably just gets away from all the... Because there's not much, there was some special effects in it, but not much, I would say, but enough to actually get you involved in the film. Anyway, should be a later podcast, talking about the film in detail.
So what about, it was a few months ago, earlier last year, when Pamela Gay interviewed me for you have to remind me the name, but it was like 24 Hours of Astronomy.
For the Global Astronomy Month.
Global Astronomy Month.
They did a hangout-a-thon.
Hangout-a-thon, that's
yeah.
the one. That was
24-hour-long cool. hangout.
Oh.
I caught her at the end of it, and she looked wrecked.
Yeah. Well, they stay awake that whole time. They do it in shifts so they can go and go to the bathroom and attempt to get a little bit of sleep, but it's a big effort for them. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not suggesting we try that. But Pamela Gay would be a cool one to interview.
Yep.
They, CosmoQuest and Pamela Gay, they just do some really cool stuff.
Mm.
And they got a grant from NASA recently, which has meant that they can do a lot more cool stuff, which is very exciting.
That's fantastic.
I think that was 2015, that hangout-a-thon, wasn't it?
I lose track of time.
Time goes fast.
It is 2017 now. Wow.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
But that was actually really cool, helping organise that hangout-a-thon, because we got people from around the world that do all different sorts of astronomy in a whole variety of different ways, and they all just popped on the show to talk about what they do, and it was really interesting, because there was people from shops that sell telescopes to people who run amateur astronomy clubs to people that run outreach programs, and it was really interesting to see how astronomy is done around the world. It was a good session, that one.
Yeah, they're doing very good stuff internationally, because I went to the Communicating Astronomy to the Public conference in 2013. That's where I met Pamela Gay myself, and just meeting the variety of people across the world and the innovative ways to just communicate with an audience. I think there was a lady from either Portugal or Spain, not too sure, but the way to get a blind person to experience the night sky, they designed this igloo or dome-like structure. They walked inside, almost like a planetarium, and then they put some little bumps in the inside of the dome where the constellations were, and had a feel, I guess, kind of like Braille for the stars. And I thought, wow.
Yeah.
That was pretty innovative to try and get at least a blind person to experience these objects in the night sky. So,
I've met them, actually, so this woman that does these things, and they have some really innovative ideas. So one thing that we did recently was there's a program called the Virtual Telescope that does live feeds of whatever the telescope's looking at. So they did this program where they picked out just various interesting objects in the sky, and then through the help of this group that helps blind people interact with astronomy, they got the images and then they processed them so they could be printed by one of those swell printers, which means they print 3D images, I guess you call it, so that blind people could actually take part in this program, so that they could see the images, have them be printed, feel them, and then they could actually engage with a sighted audience as well, while everyone got to enjoy this live journey around the sky, which is just so cool.
Yeah.
So innovative.
Yeah.
So some of the other people that I want to interview, and this is an idea that I've had that I haven't told you guys, because it's kind of cool.
Ooh, springing it on us.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've seen post fact, and we've seen, you know, post science and all that sort of stuff being thrown around since like halfway through last year, and there's been a few bits of evidence which says that, you know, facts don't matter anymore. Even on the way over, I was listening to an interview with Brian Cox, and one of the people he was talking to was saying it doesn't matter about facts, because facts are cold and hard and ruthless, whereas emotions are more, like, people would much rather be told that you're really good rather than you're very wrong, and it costs less for you to say, you know, that's fine, like, you have your opinion and, you know, that's fine, rather than that is absolutely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's kind of post-fact, you know, end of 2016 and stuff. That's what we're dealing with. So I want to speak to people who are there. I've mentioned before with a friend of mine who's an evangelical Christian and a physics graduate. I just want to ask questions, not from a perspective of, you know, you're wrong, right? But from a perspective of, I want to know how you do that.
Yeah.
Or speaking with someone who is a climate denier, that's pretty dangerous. That's, people don't do that, but I would love to speak to someone who just does not think like we do.
Yeah.
But not from a, I'm going to change your
not
mind.
Not to attack them,
no.
But just to see what they think. That
would be
interesting, how they justify it with what we can see around us.
But yeah, but just a chat, a conversation to see, this
flat
is my
Earth
perspective.
Would be fun too.
Yeah, I know. People like that, people who just think very differently to us.
I'd love to meet someone like that and just see
what
their thought processes are about it all.
Because they'd be ready for that battle.
Yep.
And we're always ready for that battle. But I don't want to have a battle. I just want to talk to see
civilized conversation.
What is it that you want, and what is it that I want, and how do we talk the same language? Like, I'm sure there's things that, you know, a flat earther and me would have in common and would agree on. So let's focus on that, and then talk about, you know, your perspective is that. I want to know more about that. Not because you're going to convince me, and I know that I'm not going to convince you. But that's my idea. Is to talk
put it all out there.
To talk to non-STEM people. Like, isn't that what we're trying
to
do?
Well, it is. That's what we're trying to do. But you be careful with saying they're non-STEM people. Most of these people probably think they actually think this way themselves.
Yes.
But they're not thinking properly. I hate to make that judgment, but that's how, from our perspective, they're not thinking STEM-like. And they think
absolutely
they are. And they're coming to the wrong conclusion because they're either cherry-picking the results, or they're putting emotion behind it rather than actually agreeing with what's actually presented as what we agreed to be evidence.
Yes.
But I like that. So I'm just thinking we try and pick the most controversial person who's willing to do an interview with us, and they'll raise our profile.
Yeah.
And then go to redbubble.com and buy a magic
stand.
Because if the person's up for it, there's a kind of a famous Australian now who's a climate denier. He's a member of the parliament that we could actually ask to be on this program if you're really interested. Or was that too much?
Look, I think that would be step 3 or 4. But I know exactly what you're talking about.
We'd have to work our way up there. Yeah.
But, you know, I've seen people try to talk to that individual. We should... Yeah, anyway. We've mentioned his name in the last 3 episodes, I think.
Oh, have we? 3 episodes?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
That's
we're
why I'm not
obsessed.
Saying it now, because it's like we're obsessed. Yeah.
I think it was in the episode when you mentioned...
my evangelical
Christian
friend.
And we were talking about...
The one that you left early for, Christy.
Yeah.
It was how effective science communicators communicate to non-STEM people.
And the answer to that, in my opinion, is not well at all. Like, we don't do that well, which is why I want to practice doing it.
And it comes back to one of my core things that I want to do with STEM Punk is raise the awareness of STEM to the non-STEM people out there.
Yes.
Because else, what are we really doing here, in a sense? We're either doing a fan service... Or, which is okay,
yes,
because then it's raising the awareness of information that these people are interested in STEM, but not usually having that information at their disposal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just raising cool issues that they may be interested in. But the other side of that is looking at people who have really no sort of STEM background as such, or have a different education, and we want to just fill the contextual gap between the two parties.
So if we're asking our audience to be challenged by science... In a way, we are.
Yes.
I think we should also be challenged by by science and non-science. That's not what I mean, but challenged by the people we interview. And if we don't challenge ourselves, like, we can't really expect other people to be challenged by what we do.
Yeah.
And if we're just interviewing people that we know, which is awesome and fun, we're not challenging ourselves, and we're not even challenging our audience, because they're listening to a podcast with, you know, with whoever it is we interview, because they're a fan of that person.
Do you know what we should do if we want to be challenged? So a lot of people that are science people watch documentaries, and that's where they get their information from, and generally that's pretty valid. But you don't necessarily know they are valid, and there's a very famous documentary/movie called Vaxxed that all the anti-vaxxers strongly believe in, and it's meant to really put forward the case for not vaccinating, and vaccinations are not good. So I reckon we should watch Vaxxed, the three of us, and then have a discussion about that and the issues that it raises, because that's, I think, one of the more... For people who are anti-vaxxers, one of what they see is the more credible sources for anti-vaccination. So it'd be an interesting one to watch.
Yeah, yeah. Which would mean we have to... Like, that would be a lot of work, because we'd have to know the facts.
Yep.
But in the interview, without saying... You know, this is right, you're wrong. Like, but you'd still have to know what you're talking about.
Yep.
And I'd like to be able to analyse how people like that argue. So, for example, there's a lot of cherry picking, for example, that we could point out, or ad hominem kind of all these logical fallacies. But I bet you, people could find that in the way that we argue.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that it'd be reasonable to argue that I have a certain level of blind faith in NASA and NASA's data.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
I go, it's NASA, I trust NASA.
Yeah.
What reason would they have to lie?
Yeah.
And they're in a very, very prominent science body, so I just trust them. But I can see why someone who doesn't trust them would therefore think that I'm just being a sheeple.
Yeah, exactly.
Just believing what NASA
says.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah. But it's also other reputable organisations that are independent from NASA that makes us more convinced. Oh, and it's also conspiracies if everybody else is on it. Yeah.
And in some cases I've seen like people who question that sort of stuff think that they are better scientists than NASA because they question what NASA says.
They're more sceptical.
And they're
yeah.
saying, well, yeah, I'm just asking the question. No one's given me the answer except for, well, it's NASA. Which is a really good point, but that's the kind of thing I want to talk about.
Yeah.
So, well, where do you get that from? Like, how come you don't trust NASA? Why? Why would you not trust NASA? And maybe they come up with a really good point that we have to consider, and then, you know.
Well,
whatever.
Hopefully. But try not to ask it in that accusatory tone.
Yeah, exactly.
Why
yeah.
don't you believe? Oh, no, wait a minute. Why don't you
yeah,
believe
exactly.
NASA? I'm
exactly.
just curious. Why?
It, and that will make us really good arguers because we have to argue the point, not argue the person or argue, you know, something else.
Yes.
Anyway, that's one of the things that I want to
I'm all on board than with that, Tom. That
I want to
like
find
a,
some people
that's
that,
our challenge.
That are not in our crew and interview them about.
The question is, how do we get these people?
You just ask them.
Ask
just
them.
Ask them.
All right. If they're willing to be interviewed, I guess, is
yeah.
another thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're going to have a lot of people that say, no, science.
yeah.
But there'll be a few who do.
Because
if they want to promote what they know, be an opportunity for them to speak out, I guess.
We should interview that woman that wrote the PhD from, was it Wollongong Uni?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That caused a huge uproar when she got her PhD because
yes.
she wrote a thesis on anti-vaccination, yeah? I think
well,
it was.
Well,
she
quoted a few things, or misquoted a few things.
Yeah.
There was some misinformation in there.
There was a huge uproar about it, and I was confused by that whole situation because Wollongong Uni is a pretty good uni, to be
yeah.
honest,
yeah.
and I can't imagine that they would... The peer review process, yeah, means they wouldn't just let through something really dodgy. So there must have been more to the story than what the media outlets reported on, which was just this scandal.
Mm.
So it'd be interesting like to look into that and find out more and see what she actually said. I mean,
yeah.
I only read the internet news articles on it, so it's
yeah,
my fault for not doing proper research.
Yeah, the constant media chatter on certain things. They only tell part of the story.
Yeah.
That's, the bit that sounds the best to them. It's going to get the most clicks.
What they think the story is when it's actually something
yeah.
else entirely.
So that's to me, that's going to be very interesting because there's so much... Like, to challenge someone, you know, not challenge, but to talk to someone who doesn't agree with you, and they know that you don't agree with them, that's going to be tough, but fun, I think. Challenging.
Yeah.
And, what you know, that's what we're here for, to challenge ourselves.
Bring out the punks in us, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I never thought of it like that. STEM punk.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
The other one I had, which is totally not really related to interviews, but these days you see podcasts as media groups, and kind of freelance media is a huge thing, so you don't really have and I'll start that again so yeah a podcast can start as a media group where you do one sort of media, but then you can branch out into, you know, like empires of different media.
We're going to create the Stempunk empire.
I'm not
gonna
awesome. But wouldn't it be cool, like, if someone came up to me and says, oh look, I'm in a band and we play science songs, if only someone would produce our record, I would love to be able to say, Stempunk label, why not? That'd be cool. Like, more than just podcasts. Because, again, one of the things that's cool about what we do is we get to communicate science to as many people as possible.
Yes.
And if that includes writing, for example, or music, or theatre, or pictures, paintings, I don't know, that'd be... I'm just thinking of other ways to get across...
So using arts to promote STEM.
Well,
yes, which is different to STEAM.
It's different to STEAM. Well, no, using anything to
use any
STEM.
Medium to promote
anything.
STEM to try and get out there more embedded into culture.
Yeah, and there's some really cool examples of it, like Margaret Wertheim does the coral reef crochet. So that's knitting. yes. crochet to promote stem, which is brilliant.
What is that called? Loom bombing or something? Or
crochet coral reef is what she called it.
Oh, okay, but there's this thing where people create a, I don't know, a crochet piece or something, that put it over signs and everything like that.
Oh, yeah, 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 I've seen that.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah,
loom
yeah.
bombing or something like that. It's kind of cool.
No, it's quite different. So, yeah, Margaret Wertheim uses, like, crochet patterns, but if you put, like, a purposeful mistake in somewhere, it turns it into different shapes. Like, you can get these hyperbolic kind of...
That sounds like chaos. It's
very mathematical.
Yeah.
And it looks like coral reef. It's amazing. Cool. And there's other examples, like, have you heard of I think it's Formula E racing?
E?
Formula E.
No.
You heard of that?
No.
It's so cool. It's like Formula One, but the cars are electric.
Ah, cool.
There's an entire circuit, and it's like there's a pretty cool education slant there as well, like, and careers. Like, you talk about, you know, technology and engineering and all that sort of stuff. You're building race cars, and that's a really cool job, I think. But it's more than just a race. Like, they have interactive races, so as the drivers drive past, you can give points to the racers, which gives them either penalties or points towards their total for doing cool things. Like, if one of them overtakes in a cool way, give them a point, or if one of them cuts another one off, you take a point off. And it's like, it's interactive, so the crowd is watching the race, and they're
that's
part
cool.
of the race as well. And there's a push to have Formula E in Australia, I think.
That'd be fun to go along and
sort
of commentate for a podcast.
That'd be really cool. Like,
participate and make a little video about it.
Can we make the Stempunk Formula E car?
What a very good driver.
Yeah, I'll be up for it.
Imagine that. Like, when they come out here, we just ask them, hey, can we have a lap? Like,
cool.
We can help promote them if we're big enough.
But just ideas like that. Like, you know, a writing thing to do with steampunk, or a painting, or a song, or something like that. And that's kind of why I like the idea of this band. We link with the band.
Yeah. Well, maybe you mentioned before, I don't know if we mentioned an episode, but we wanted to do an activity, which is escape room.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's so cool.
So I think we should try and do more activities out there.
Yeah.
And like, go to the escape room, and if they're finishing up one of their escape rooms activity, because they may obviously have to change it up, because it'd be regulars though, but if they're willing to ask for us to clip on microphones and just sort of work out how to escape the room, as you mentioned, you wanted to make an episode out of
it,
that'd be pretty cool. But I guess what I'd like to see is us just doing more activities like that, and just getting out there and recording what we do. I'll try and think of an activity, well, potentially escape room. I don't know if you want to look into that again, or
I forgot about that. Amazing.
Well, there I go.
We should
remind
do a
you,
molecular
Tom.
Gastronomy cooking class.
Why not? Let's do it.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yep.
There's a lot of cool science in molecular gastronomy.
So, but we need money for this. So, come to the trivia night, and we can raise funds to go, and we can comment on all this cool stuff for you.
Yeah, they're my ideas.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a fun year.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be a challenging year. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And that's the best kind of fun.
I kind of have to go pretty soon.
All right.
So
that
I think
good.
We should wrap it up.
All right.
Well,
cool.
Onwards to 2017.
Yay. We're
Woo.
Almost at the end of January. This is scary.
Yes.
Yeah.
1/12 of the way there.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's going to be interesting.
Yay, cool. Well, thank you.
Yes. It's all good. Stay tuned.
See you around like cog.
Oh, my God.
No.
Okay.
Okay, on that note, we can just wrap it up right there.
Yeah.
Bye. There we go.